His briefcase, Mark Cross, not quite top of the line but close, is standing in the front hall by the coat tree where his top coat, from Tagers on Madison, hangs. He snags the case on his way by and takes it into the kitchen. The coffee is all made. God bless Mr. Coffee. And he pours himself a cup. He opens the briefcase, which is entirely empty, and picks up the ball of tinsel on the kitchen table. He holds it up for a moment, watching the way it sparkles under the light of the kitchen fluorescence, then puts it in his briefcase. "Do you hear what I hear?" he says to no one at all, and snaps the briefcase shut. 8:15 a.m. Outside the dirty window to his left, he can see the city drawing closer. The grime on the glass makes it look like some filthy, gargantuan ruin. Dead Atlantis, maybe, just heaved back to the surface to glare at the gray sky. The day's got a load of snow caught in its throat, but that doesn't worry him much. It is just 8 days until Christmas, and business will be good. The train car reeks of morning coffee, morning deodorant, morning aftershave, morning perfume, and morning stomachs. There is a tie in almost every seat. Even some of the women wear them these days. The faces have that puffy 8 o'clock look, the eyes both introspective and defenseless, the conversations half-hearted. This is the hour at which even people who don't drink look hungover. Most folks just stick to their newspapers. Why not? Reagan is king of America. Stocks and bonds have turned to gold. The death penalty is back in vogue. Life is good. He himself has the Times crossword open in front of him, and although he's filled in a few squares, it's mostly a defensive measure. He doesn't like to talk to people on the train, doesn't like loose conversation of any sort, and the last thing in the world he wants is a commuter buddy. When he starts seeing the same faces in any given car, when people start to nod to him or say, "How you doing today?" as they go to their seats, he changes cars. It's not that hard to remain unknown, just another commuter from suburban Connecticut, a man conspicuous only in his adamant refusal to wear a red tie. Maybe he was once a parochial schoolboy. Maybe once he held a weeping little girl while one of his friends struck her repeatedly with a baseball bat. And maybe he once spent time in the green. Nobody on the train has to know these things. That's the good thing about trains. "All ready for Christmas?" the man in the aisle seat asks him. He looks up, almost frowning, then decides it's not a substantive remark, only the sort of empty time passer some people seem to feel compelled to make. The man beside him is fat and will undoubtedly stink by noon, no matter how much speed stick he used this morning. But he's hardly even looking at Bill, so that's all right. "Yes, well, you know," he says, looking down at the briefcase between his shoes, the briefcase that contains a ball of tinsel and nothing else. "I'm getting in the spirit, little by little."